This Sunday evening service of Lessons and Carols took place at Trinity Baptist Church on December the 20th, 2015, and was led by Pastor Rod Harris and Minister of Music Bobby Smith.
Light and life to all He bring, risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glories by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give Him second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
As we think about the birth of our Savior, the question is, where do we begin? If we're going to begin the Scripture reading and think about, scripturally, the birth of Jesus, where do we start? Well, we know that it began in eternity past as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit came up with a plan that they were going to redeem a people, create and redeem a people for the glory of God. We could start there. We could begin with the creation that God created them, male and female, in His own image and likeness. And that we know that's a big part of the story. But I think I'll begin where the need arose. Why we needed a Savior. Why we needed a Redeemer. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 6, we read, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave son to her husband who was with her, and he ate. The eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden." So rather than running toward God, they ran away from God. Instead of walking with Him in love and fellowship, they knew that all of that had changed now. Where there was once love and fellowship, now there was fear. Later on in the story, as God is pronouncing the curse upon Adam and Eve, and then also upon the serpent, He makes this very important statement. He said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel." So God already, in the garden, in the midst of cursing, He spoke a word of promise about God's deliverance, of God's provision for their sin, their wickedness, their rebellion. Then hundreds of years later, after calling Abram from Ur of the Chaldees and entering into relationship with him and covenant with him, God makes this statement to Abram. "And in your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." God provided for Adam and Eve's rebellion. God covered them when they could not cover themselves. And there was the first preaching of the gospel. And then again, centuries later, as He has entered into covenant with Abraham, He says that through his seed, the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. That message was reinforced by the prophets. Isaiah spoke, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Later, Isaiah says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom he will establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." We had a need. God provided. Then God spoke that there would come a deliverer. And through the centuries, the prophets echoed that message and promised again that there would be one who would come that would deliver God's people. And finally, after centuries of promise, we read in Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." Some 9 months later, following a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed, Mary and Joseph made their way to Joseph's ancestral home in Bethlehem. And we read in Luke chapter 2, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. The angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Let's continue our singing.
Come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. O sing, all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God all, glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds keep their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heaven there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low of the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, heaven's all gracious King, the world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Yet with the woes of sin and strife the world has suffered long, beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, hear the angel sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet birds untold, with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall overcome the all earth, its ancient splendors fleeing, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, darkness flies, all is light. Shepherds hear the angels sing, Alleluia, hail the King. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus Lord, at thy birth, Jesus Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing, Alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born.
Thinking about that night and what it must have been like, you do need to understand that the streets were crowded with weary travelers. The pilgrims were tired, and they were angry, because this wasn't a leisurely trip back to the old home place. This was a forced march. The government declared, you will go back, because you will be taxed. They weren't happy when they traveled. Not to mention, when they got there, the city was overcrowded. Every available place had been taken. People were camped out in the courtyards, in the streets. Anywhere that there was enough room to lay down a bedroll, somebody was taking that space. Mary and Joseph ended up in a barn. She's very pregnant. She's near the end of her pregnancy. No room in the inn, nowhere to be found. And so they settle into a barn. And then Mary turns to Joseph and she says, Joseph, it's time. And Joseph, being a man, said, of course it is. It's the perfect end to a perfect day. See, the scene is not like the tranquil scene on the Christmas card. It was noisy, crowded. People weren't smiling. And the barnyard wasn't filled with beautiful little children in costume. There were actual cows. There was the smell, the stench of urine mingled mud. Didn't seem right that Messiah would be born in that setting. Very different from the way we picture things. It hadn't been an easy time for this newlywed couple. It all started when Joseph's fiance said, "Joe, we need to talk." That's never a good thing. And then she proceeded telling this fantastic tale about angels and a miracle baby. And Joseph was supposed to just accept that. God did this to me. And Joseph sought to quietly get out of the marriage. And that's when he had his own angelic encounter. "Joseph, she's telling you the truth. This is God's work. You will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people." You understand that even with angels giving you a message, even with your assurance that this really is from God, it's not easy to walk down the street and everyone snicker. You do understand that it's not easy being the punchline of the community joke. But Mary and Joseph took it. They took it because God had chosen them for a very special task. They were to bring Messiah into the world. It was an incredible thing. But still, how? Why? Why a barn? Why under these circumstances? It still didn't make sense. And you'll have to admit, it is a wild story. Virgin giving birth. Angels coming and going with grand announcements. Strange visitors from the east saying, "We saw a star and we followed it." It's really a fantastic tale. Add to that, it's the story that God, who created everything that exists, God who spoke the world into being, God who holds all things together by the power of His might, had become a baby. God made flesh. And He's lying in a manger, a feeding trough. It's a fantastic tale. Can you imagine what must have been going on in the mind and heart of Mary and Joseph? It's a fantastic tale. And yet it's true. It's gloriously true. That our God so loved the world, He gave His Son. That the Lord Jesus, who for all eternity had enjoyed the worship of heaven, where He was adored all the time, and He left that to be born, to come into this world and to be as helpless as a baby. See, we tend to gloss over that. Because we say, well, yeah, he was a baby, but not like you and I were babies. He was a baby, yeah, but at the same time, he was God. But it's hard to imagine. God had to be fed and diapered and cared for. But it's essential for us to understand that's the story of the Scripture. Because if we think of him in any other way, if we don't think of him as a baby who grew up and who went through all the normal things that babies go through, and he had to deal with the same kind of emotion that you and I have to deal with, then he only appeared to be human, and that's no value to us. He became man because it was necessary. If he was going to redeem man, he had to become man. He had to suffer as we suffer. He had to feel as we feel. That's why the writer of Hebrews can say with such confidence to us, he knows our every heartache. He knows our every struggle. And we have a Redeemer who's not unfamiliar with our struggle. Because he was tempted in all manner as we are, yet he was without sin. That tiny, beautiful baby that mom and dad made such a fuss over that night when he finally arrived. And as Mary held her baby close, and as she kissed his tiny hands, and as Joseph squeezed his tiny feet, it never entered their mind that one day great iron spikes would be driven through those tiny pink hands, or that those little feet would be nailed to a cross. But that's essential to the story. A fantastic tale, and yet a glorious, glorious tale. This week we're going to observe Christmas yet again. And families are going to gather. Gifts will be exchanged. And we'll celebrate. But again, the question for us is, what exactly are we celebrating? Specifically, what is it that causes our rejoicing? What is the message of Christmas? I think it comes down to this. God keeps His Word. He is faithful to His promise. Centuries before, God had promised there would be a king. And the angels announced that night on the plains of Bethlehem that king had come. That one who would rule and reign in righteousness. That one who will restore all things. The one who makes everything right. God's anointed one is here. He has arrived. And I suggest to you, that's worth celebrating. That is ample cause for feasting. So, understand. Mark it down. And this coming Friday, reflect on the fact that Christmas is about God's faithfulness. He will do what He said He will do. He said to Abraham, through your seed the nations of the earth will be blessed. And I'd encourage you to take some time to just look around the world and see exactly how the world has been blessed because of the church and because of the gospel. The angel said to Joseph, you are to name him Jesus because he will save his people. And today, in heaven, is an unnumbered multitude who sing the praise of the Lamb, rejoicing in God's great salvation. across the earth, people of faith gather to sing and rejoice and celebrate and pray because God has redeemed a people for His glory. Christmas is a great reminder that God is faithful even when we are faithless. God keeps His word even when we fail to keep ours. Christmas is a reminder that this God who has been faithful in the past is faithful now in the present and will be faithful in the future. That's our confidence. And that's our hope. So when you and I are celebrating Christmas, we're not just looking back 2,000 years ago. We're not just gathering and singing and celebrating and feasting because there was a baby who was born. Rather, we celebrate and we sing and we feast and we rejoice because there was a baby who was born, who grew to be a man, who righteously pleased God in every aspect and then gave His life in payment for our rebellion, suffered, died, rose again, is ascended to the right hand of God, where He now is interceding on our behalf, pleading our case, and one day is coming again. That's all wrapped up in Christmas. Our King is coming. And our King, when He comes, is going to make all things right. When He comes back, He is going to right every wrong. And He will reign unchallenged. He's coming back to bring an end to this age, and to open an eternal age. So, as you celebrate this week, remember that you're celebrating a King. A King born to redeem a people. A King who has come to establish an eternal kingdom. A King who is faithful and true. What's Christmas about? It's about a great King. Your King. And my King. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the joy and the wonder of Christmas. I thank You that You have so loved us. You made it possible for sinful, fallen, depraved people like us to be restored, to be granted life eternal and life abundant. You've covered our nakedness. You've removed the curse. And because of that child who was born, we can be called children of the living God, heirs to a great kingdom. And it is wholly of Your grace. Father, forgive us of how often we've gotten caught up in the season. And we've celebrated. And we've feasted. And we've laughed and we've rejoiced. And yet failed to worship. Grant that a part of our celebration this year is that we would worship Christ the Lord. Wouldn't just be a lyric in a song. It would be the attitude of our heart. Lord, we thank You for this indescribable gift that You've given.
and we're grateful. We don't worship a baby in a feeding trough, but a king who is seated at your right hand and one day is coming to take us home. Grant us courage to live out our days secure because of our King. Confident because of our King. Rejoicing because of our King. And longing for our King to come. Father, grant that we not be so tied to this world. Grant that we live each day with this prayer in our heart and on our lips. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing our benediction.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender.
Been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.